Thank you for tuning in to Diaries of a Dom, plus questions answered, with me, Chastity Queen. And today I'm going to be talking about BDSM and behavior. So the title is Behave, Save BDSM. Behavior can cancel a much-loved culture. And before I dig into that topic, please do follow me on FetLife, under Chastity-Queen, and Twitter at Queen of Lockup. Again, Chastity Queen. You can also subscribe to my OnlyFans, where I have over 7,000 photos and over 700 videos for you to enjoy and more coming daily. You can also go to lockedinlust.com, where you can purchase the Vice, which is a medical-grade polycarbonate device. And it's fabulous. So go there and use my 15% off promo code and you can get yourself a beautiful beginner device that is a good long-term choice as well. You can also support the show by hitting the link in my podcast description for support the show, and you can send me a tribute via PayPal. I always appreciate it. So my title for this episode is Behave, Save BDSM. Behavior can cancel a much-loved culture. So everyone, never forget that how we all individually behave has a ripple effect on the collective culture. One bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. Never be that bad apple. BDSM is a place where we can dig into our deepest desires and explore those diverse styles. I never want to see the day where we become challenged, shamed, or disgraced for being in this lifestyle and then forced to live underground as others had to in days past. Danger lived in those dark days. BDSM has opened the dialogue regarding consent, transparency, and safety, and we must adhere to this positive evolution. Those who use it as a vehicle to abuse without penalty are being systematically exposed, as should be the case. How we move through this lifestyle will eventually dictate our eventual success or demise. May we all strive for the mental freedom that can be achieved in this lifestyle and denounce those who leave a rotten taste in the mouths of others and in the public. There are fundamental rules in life that require strict adherence in any dynamic. BDSM is not exempt. BDSM should be held to an even higher standard. Cancel culture is an alert and ready wave, whether we like it or not. I strongly suggest to everybody listening, always negotiate partnerships and scenes. Be transparent. Use contracts if you have doubts. Renegotiate often. Always use safe words. Consensual non-consent must be discussed and even written down and signed before moving into that scene or partnership. Common sense will dictate logic. I will have an experience for you shortly about that. Always use wisdom and respect when dealing with others. Psychology is just as important as physical or sexual needs. Always love yourself and others. Always protect those that cannot protect themselves. Speak up and support those ones. Now, from my experience, I personally warned a serious fetish player about extreme ball crushing and kicking and who he engaged with whenever he did that. He had asked that of me and I refused, as it was unreasonable to me. At that time, I advised him to use caution because so many women are not in the BDSM lifestyle, but simply dress up as a dom to make money, and that he could be seriously hurt in the wrong hands. After a few months, I received communication from him. He admitted that he had since gone away on a business trip and asked for a consensual non-consent scene for ball kicking and ball crushing. He had met up with a so-called popular pro-dom in the United States who claimed to know what she was doing. She was all over the internet, and because of that, he expected that she would know what she was doing, and he also felt safe in that she had experience. He arrived. He entered her location. The door shut behind him, and a gun was pulled on him. Apparently, she was not alone. He was stripped naked, put on the ground, and kicked so relentlessly that he passed out. When he came to, he had been restrained, and she continued to assault him amidst his vomiting and pleadings to stop. After some time, he was released, and by some miracle, he escaped. He returned to Canada with serious damage to his testicles. He could not use his penis for sex, and the pain was constant. Thankfully, he told me his wife wasn't interested in sex, so no alarm bells were ringing. When his desire to be kicked had returned, and I will always say this, desires often overshadow logic. And it also seemed that his pain had seemingly disappeared. He contacted me yet again for a session of ball kicking, ball busting, consensual non-consent, extreme pain session. Knowing what he had suffered, I allowed him to see me, actually. I began kicking slowly, and after 1 minute he said, "Something does not feel right." Immediately I stopped. He had asked me not to stop. He begged me not to stop prior to him walking through the door. And I said, "Well, look, I will do a kicking session. That's fine. But I don't do consensual non-consent sessions. So that's going to be my choice." And he said, "Okay, of course, mistress, it's your choice. But if you don't want to stop, I'm fine with that." So as I said, after 1 minute, he just said, "Something does not feel right." And I knew there was something wrong. I could tell when I was kicking him that something was just not right. Immediately when he said, "I don't feel right," I stopped. I helped him up. I got him some ice for his testicles, and I took him downstairs to my dungeon, to my massage table. And I put him on the massage table. He was naked, of course, so I was able to feel around, and when he winced, I knew what areas were affected. Now, I hadn't kicked him very much. I had maybe gone for about a minute, and it started slowly. So it wasn't that I had kicked him too hard. It was that he couldn't handle any impact of any kind. So after inspecting him, we both realized that she had done more damage than he had understood. I asked him if he'd seen his doctor. He said no, he hadn't gone after the event. He was too embarrassed. And I told him, "After you leave here, you're going to call your doctor and make an appointment." So he agreed to do so, and he told me he would let me know what the results were of that appointment. And, you know, ultimately, it was up to him to follow through with that. But I wouldn't continue on with his session based on his situation. So I gave him a nice massage and we talked and I gave him some aftercare and then he left. And he did. He contacted me a few days later and had said that he went and got checked and that there was some sort of a damage that had happened. He was going to have to go for some tests, but in time it should heal. So what I want to say is that this is an experience that speaks of being reasonable, separating your fetish fantasy from the logistical reality, and realizing that you must use caution. It could affect your health and any safe future interactions. There will always be someone willing to hurt you, but this man's experience could have cost him his life. Safe, sane, consensual is used for a reason. We don't want to engage in activity that will permanently damage one's body. And if we do, and that gets out to the public, and something becomes a criminal case, somebody goes to court, somebody goes to prison, somebody dies, how does that reflect upon the culture of BDSM? So it's very important that we take things seriously. It might be fun to engage in BDSM and it feels free, it feels liberating. But there's still responsibility that needs to be engaged in. It's not a joke. BDSM involves so many different tools. And the reason why I wanted to share this situation as well is because I was going to go to a party, a local party, and since COVID, there's not been a whole lot of events available for BDSM players. For example, I have sadistic scenes that I enjoy. I like to do humiliation, I like degradation, impact play and such. So I saw on FetLife that this weekend there is an event. And what I did as a responsible dom, knowing that I wanted to engage in a scene with multiple people, basically me as the dominant, and under me would be between 3 and 6 slaves or submissives, pain sluts. And that was my vision. So when you have a vision of something that you want to do, and you have a desire to do such a thing, and that can go for submissives as well. So you have a desire, say, to be a pain slut and to be kicked relentlessly or whipped or paddled or caned, or you want to engage in breath play. There's so many different scenarios. You have to be logical and logistical about it. You have to think about it step by step. So I could have just signed up for the party, went to the party, found some people to beat, did a pre-negotiation right on the spot, consent, etc., and gone forward with my scene. But being the planner and the BDSM educator that I am, I decided, well, I'm going to contact the party organizer. I had never been to one of their parties, nor heard of this organizer before, so I had to do my due diligence and some research. And I contacted the organizer, which is always the wise thing to do. You contact the organizer if you have any questions or if you have a particular scene that you want to take part in. So that's what I did. And so I contacted the organizer and I said, hello, so-and-so. I'm not going to say who it was. Will there be an area during the party that you are holding that I can use to beat a group of subs or slaves? So she said, yes, there was a designated play or dungeon space that would need to happen in. And then she says to inbox her in the party event area. So I went over as I wanted to follow the instructions. And I went over and I sent a message there. So she said, she sent over the information to the chief DM so that they're aware of what I was wanting to do during the party. And then she let me know what the DM information was. And there's a group that does DMing for parties. And there's I think it was maybe six or seven. I can't be 100% sure. There's a handful, under 10 anyway. Mind you, this party is having over 400 people. So a group of 7 to 10 DMs for that number of people seemed small to me. But I didn't question it because I figured if the numbers went high, she would probably just enlist some more DMs. So she let me know how to pre-register, and I put down my name and my slave's name, and I was able to tell her that basically I was going to bring my submissive, my slave, CQ's bunny, not as a participant, but as a private DM, just on top of their own dungeon monitors or dungeon masters. And the reason I wanted this is because I needed somebody close by. If there's music, if there's other scenes happening, I wanted there to be a second set of ears and eyes as I was going to be engaging with multiple people at once. Basically, I was going to be the sadist. They were going to be my slaves. So a discussion was had about the amount of space I would need, and that they didn't want my one scene to monopolize the majority of the party. And of course, that wasn't my intention at all. I didn't want to monopolize anything. I wanted to let them be aware that I wanted multiple slaves in my scene, and if that could be facilitated. So she at first said yes, and then she said that we needed to know, you know, how long and for how many people, etc. So I let her know that I needed about an hour and a half or so, and there would be 3 to 5 submissives, including myself and my slave. And she said that there is a venue that has booths that could accommodate 10, and each had its own dedicated pole or a whipping post, because this event is being held at a strip joint. So she wanted more details to fit it into their party. So I let her know I sent the pre-registration, and I said, I do not want to post for paying sluts until you feel comfortable with it. It is your party and your rules. Maybe a booth would be a better option. Please advise before I post for slaves to beat. I certainly do not wish to monopolize the party. And then what I did is I sent her a draft of what I was going to post once that was permitted by her. So basically, I'm going to read you what my draft of what I was looking for. I would like to attend the, and then the party's name, at, and then, you know, XYZ strip club locally. And I want to do a scene with 3 to 5 pain sluts or masochists for a 1 to 2 hour minimum all at once. So I was thinking maybe an hour and a half, but I wanted to put 2 hours just in case I needed a little bit more time for cleanup or prep, that sort of thing. So 1 to 2 hours. And then I say we will pre-negotiate all limits, and along with the DM at the party, then in brackets I said I've reached out to the event holders to advise them of my desires for a sadistic scene and will be abiding by their expectations. I will also be having my chase slave, who is trained in dungeon monitoring, as an extra set of eyes. He will not be participating as a bottom, as I want him to assist and watch for any safety concerns, offer water to the individual slaves if needed, and listen intently for safe words if spoken. And then I said my hard limits are health issues, heart, blood pressure, or STDs. Never touch me. Do not look me directly in the eyes. No sex or requests for sex. No pegging or requests for pegging. No needles or blood. Preferences: extreme pain sluts, extreme masochists, locked in chastity. And then the aftercare. If you have a partner or close friend that can provide aftercare, that is acceptable. I and my chase slave will stay after the scene to provide aftercare. And then I get my email and the subject line that they could use, and the details of you know, what they were comfortable with, what type of play they were experienced in, etc. Trigger words, hard and soft limits, and consent needs. So I went through a very specific list, and I sent her that draft before posting, because you can't expect to go to a party and with, you know, an intention to, you know, have a beating sadistic scene with a number of slaves without letting the organizers know. So once again, she sent this off to her chief DM, so he had a heads up. And then she said, we definitely like big showboat scenes. Then she said, I don't have any issues with you posting or sharing. And if you want, and then she gave me the pickup playboard, which was nice. So I said to her, excellent. The bottoms can hold on to a pole, but some may be on the floor too. I will post tomorrow, but only once you advise your chief DM and it is cleared in that area. Respectfully, Chastity Queen. So far everything was looking good. I was doing my part as a dominant to abide by rules, by respecting somebody's event and letting them know my intentions, as well as pre-planning what I was looking for in the bottoms that I would be playing with. I got a response from her saying, what kind of impact scene is it? Is there rough body play, needles, CBT, etc.? And as I had stated up in my draft, I said, no needles, no blood. But I reiterated that. I said, no needles or blood. Then I put impact tools, floggers, paddles, whips, and belts. I'm delivering it based on heavy negotiation prior to the event. And then planning, I said, I do not do any scene without explicit planning. And then I asked her a question because I thought maybe this scene is too complex and too, maybe there were too many people involved and it was stressing them out. So I just said, is this scene too advanced for your party? Not meaning to be degrading at all, but because I, you know, when I go to most parties, it's a one-on-one or maybe two on one or one with two. It never really sees more than that. I see multiple slaves very irregularly at any event. And as I said, it's usually maximum three people. So I just basically said, is this scene too advanced for your party? And this is where things kind of turned. She said, it's certainly not too advanced for the party. It's an edge play party. An impact play is not edge, unless it involves blood. And then we want to be prepared. The reason why I'm asking these questions is so we know how to facilitate this amongst 300 guests that might be there and the multiple other stations going on as well. The more information shared to the DM, to manage the play and the rest of the party. I want to make sure that it's in a space that works well for you, but yet doesn't monopolize. So I had to say to her, I gave you the specifics in the post that I was going to list. So I was confused by what you meant by, how is the pain delivered? Do you want blood? Impact tools without blood or needles can still be edgy. In fact, if used incorrectly, impact tools can do terrible damage. So I'm quite uncertain about your question or perception of edge play. She says basically she was confused about my curiosity if the scene was too advanced when it's an impact scene at a fetish party. To be clear, she said there's a glaring difference between edge play and someone who doesn't know what they're doing and causes terrible damage. Violence is not edge play. That's apples to oranges. Being a bottom and rather heavy bottom myself, and an edge player, I understand the dangers and risks. The point of this message was to find out how much space or equipment you might require so that we can facilitate this to the best of our abilities. My response was, I just need to understand what you're trying to say. You said it's an edge play party, and impact play is not edge unless it involves blood. And then we want to be prepared. So, are you defining edge play as needles, sharps, knives, with blood as an end result? What constitutes edge play is largely subjective and is as broad a term as the number of fetishes and kinks out there. I know this fact because I was a pro dom for years. Every single impact tool that I own can be used in sensation play, medium impact, hard impact, and any number of these tools could draw blood or be used in breath play. A scarf can be edge play if used in a breath play scene. The tips of a flogger alone can draw blood, though I never use leather if there is even a possibility of blood. Edge depends on the participants involved, and what is edgy for that bottom might not be for another. It all depends on the scene and the negotiations made. And then I said, if anything, I'm going above and beyond by sharing my intentions and specifics. I'm not trying to insult anyone's knowledge. Just making sure I don't offend anyone with a sadistic scene. And then I said, I may just come and engage one slave at a time or just beat one. I don't like being in dom space over and over and over again. I can concentrate better with a few at once. I have experience in this. I don't have to come down from dom space repeatedly and then go back at it again. With so many people attending, you'll have your hands full watching everyone as they do their individual brands or styles of edge play. I don't envy your DMs. It's hard to determine just from watching what edge play scene is over the limit or not, especially with CNC scenes, which is the consensual non-consent scenes. Add in the necessary blood cleanup protocols. Wow, I said. And thanks for answering my questions, Chastity Queen. So I went into, you know, edge play and such, and I realized that, yes, it was an edge play party. They had suspension area. They have littles area. They have a dungeon. And that's why I knew it was so varied that I needed to ask them if my scene was suitable or if it was too advanced, in the sense that, you know, I had so many slaves that I was going to introduce into a longer scene. So this is where it just seems to go off the rails, okay? And this is why I wanted to share this episode today, because I'd hate for people to throw parties and not know what they're getting into before they throw the party. And then to deal with somebody who has respect, who is a dom. It's my lifestyle, but, you know, in essence, what I'm saying is, who knows what to expect. So basically, she just, to sum it up, she says, to be quite frank, I don't know why you keep coming back to me on this. I'm through with this conversation. She doesn't know why I'm stuck on the feeling that I need to have blood at the end of my play for it to qualify for this party, because she says she never said that. And then she says, you question if we can handle your scene, and I'm saying that we can. If you come, fine. If you don't, all the same. And then she goes, I will no longer be entertaining this type of energy. And I'm thinking, what type of energy is this? I'm being thorough. That's all. You know, I understand that when people text or when they type a sentence, it's hard to associate emotion with the words. But it also is interesting how people can inject their own emotions into words. So essentially, she was taking offense to my explanation of what edge play really is and how it can be so varied and subjective. I wasn't doing it or speaking this way to insult anybody. You know, I was just trying to understand where they were coming from. And then within minutes, I got another message saying, actually, to be honest, I don't want this energy at the party. I'm not doing this event to feel demeaned by someone, and to be honest with you, I don't like how you ended your entire whole message, and I would just rather you not attend. So it was a little surprising in one area and not in another. And so I gave it some thought, and I took a little bit of time, and then I responded. So I thought the best way to respond was in this manner. This is what I said to her. In fact, yes, you did say that edge play included blood. You said, and then I quoted, "It's an edge play party, and impact play is not edge unless it involves blood. And then we want to be prepared." On the side, I said, "Your words, not mine. Thank you for uninviting me and my slaves." I'm not even being sarcastic, and I really wasn't. I was quite actually happy about this. Then I said, "If you feel demeaned, that's your issue, not mine. I'm simply asking questions and informing you about the diversity of what edge play actually encompasses. And impact tools are part of that definition, even without blood. But if you're going to be so defensive and touchy, my being uninvited by you might actually be the universe looking out for me and my slaves, especially seeing you take offense to sane questions. That is a major red flag in my books. I am grateful that I'm not attending. I was starting to question things when you said you like big showboat scenes. And yet this is my lifestyle, not a performance or a circus for others' silly enjoyment. Frankly, with your behavior here, you're only doing this event for the money and personal pleasure. That is loud and clear now. Holding such a party with so many attending is a recipe for potential disaster. You'd better be fully equipped with a large number of DMs to handle 300 plus people for edge play. Good luck on Sunday. Thank you again, Chastity Queen." Her response was toodles. That's what she said, toodles, and blocked me. And blocked me on her private account as well, like on her individual account, not the event account. You know, when you decide you're going to attend a party, and say you're a novice to BDSM, it's important to ask the questions. And I noticed on the event party page that basically there is no means of being vetted for a party. And most high protocol events will vet people before they're allowed to come. And what that means is that, you know, you have to be known in the community. You have had to go to a munch, for example, where munches are wonderful. A munch is where you go to a non-fetish area, to a restaurant, and you don't come dressed up in fetish gear. And you meet other like-minded people, and you get to know them. And so that's another manner of being vetted for an event, is if somebody is throwing an event, you go and you meet them at a munch first before they open the doors to just anybody to come to a BDSM party, which is really smart, because when you're dealing in sadism, impact tools, and in this case, it's a sex-positive event, you've got body fluids, you've got blood, needles, etc., because they have edge play. And I'm not stuck on the whole blood issue. I'm just saying that was what sparked me to ask more questions, because when she said that impact play is not edge, or impact tools are not edge because there's no blood, that was a red flag for me. So for a novice to show up at a party, you know, all you need to do is basically email them, give them your first and last name, and show up with ID. If an event organizer is not vetting people, then that creates a risk on its own. And then you add in fluid play and sex positivity, which is great. I'm not against sex positive events, but when they start to get their back up about questions that are just logical, and they think that they're being degraded or demeaned that should be a warning to anybody who is attending an event such as that to maybe think twice. And you have to ask, you know, above and beyond a first aid kit, are there going to be designated participants who are there to perform and who are trained with first aid? So, I mean, I see the numbers going up to close to 450 people that are RSVPing. And I don't know what their cap is. But when I said to her, I think it's about money, it's because when numbers go up and up and up and you're doing high risk behavior, which is edge play, is a lot riskier because you're taking people essentially to the edge of their safe space. So I am not going to the party. I was told I'm not allowed to go. I'm uninvited and such is life. I'm actually grateful for that. But it concerns me that somebody would be so defensive about regular, you know, everyday BDSM questions. And that's why I needed to clarify some things, because either she's not experienced. Maybe she has experience in, you know, rope and being a bottom, but maybe she doesn't understand the amount of preparation it takes as a dominant, especially in a hard, like a heavy sadistic scene. You know, you need to really be prepared for that. And I had another scene that was pretty intense, and I contacted the organizer, same thing. And this was years ago. I contacted her, and, you know, I could do scenes at home, like in my dungeon on my own without contacting anybody. I would prepare and pre-plan and et cetera. But when you go to somebody else's event, you know, I've done it a number of times for a number of different things, a number of different organizers who I've engaged with. And there's one that is from Stony Creek area, and he's fabulous. And I always give him the honor and respect of realizing that he is throwing a party. It's a lot of work to do that. And so he needs to know what my plan is as a dominant. So I've done that. In this other case, it was a femdom event with a lady who held it at her place. And she's a sadist. And I gave her the rundown of what I wanted to do. And she just said, basically, you can come in from 3 a.m. until however long you want and perform your scene. And she had people monitoring things. So I went in and I had the time of my life because everything was pre-organized. So, and I had many questions for her too. So I think that when somebody comes back at you and says, oh, you can't ask more questions because now it's just degrading, then that should be a big red flag. And, you know, with BDSM, as I said before, we have to take things seriously, because if you don't and something goes down and something goes wrong, the whole culture can collapse. You know, these things don't stay quiet. These things get into the news, even in other cultures. Religious culture. When things go down that are wrong because things are hush-hush or things aren't taken seriously or safeties aren't in place, you have to expect that there will be a domino effect. So in this case, I hope that that party goes well. I have friends going to this party, and I really hope that they're going to be in a safe space. And, you know, I guess only time will tell. We'll find out what happens from there on. And I can do an update if anything does occur, or based on what happens, or if I hear from the organizer again. We'll see. I don't expect that. She's just gone and blocked me everywhere because I have questions. So, you know, I want everybody to feel safe, be safe, and if you're going to start to dabble in BDSM, make sure you ask questions. And if you have any red flags, just really listen to your gut, really listen to your instinct, and ask the hard questions. Because, you know, I might be uninvited from this party, but maybe my hard questions will have them taking things a little bit more seriously and putting more safeties into place. And for me, that's a win. You know, I can have a sadistic scene anytime I want, basically. I can set that up anytime. I don't need a party to go to engage in such a thing. I can do that on a private level. So, but it, I mean, it is nice to go out and interact with your community and such, but I guess I've been blackballed from that event coordinator. I'm going to another event in October, so there's many other places that are unafraid of questions. So I'm going to have a good time at that one. And I look forward to the person who holds that party. He's wonderful. So very high protocol. And that's another thing a person can ask is this a high protocol event or is this just a party? You know, is this a swingers event? Because there is a big difference between BDSM and swingers and the type of engagement that they participate in. And I'm not degrading either one. I'm just saying that the type of engagement is varied and their protocol system is different. So with BDSM, having high protocol is smart. With swingers, it's a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more, hey, I know you, I know you're safe and let's engage. And it's more sex-based than it is mental. And, you know, BDSM is about power exchange and using tools and fetishes to make that happen and to enrich an experience mentally. There's that psychological aspect that is not as free. It's more methodical in nature. So thank you for listening to my episode on behaving, coming from a femdom. It's important when we do throw parties and attend parties and even engage in our own dungeons and even as those who are new to BDSM or experienced, we never want to lose sight of the safety and respect and the protocols involved because when we do, when we continue to learn and grow, we become enriched and we feel mentally rich and physically satisfied. And I think that's my main and most important message to share with all of you and to proliferate this, to spread this message of love and acceptance and inclusivity while staying safe and having fun. So thank you for listening. I hope you have a lovely day, the rest of your day. And if you have a moment, you can leave a review here on my podcast. You can support the show by sending me a tribute. I always appreciate that. And you can subscribe to my OnlyFans under Chastity Queen. You can follow me on Twitter as Queen of Lockup, Chastity Queen. And you can friend me or follow me on FetLife. I always enjoy more friends and followers. And if you want a lovely chastity device or a strap-on that goes beautifully with the chastity device so that you can please your partner while you're locked up, go to www.lockedinlust.com and use promo code ChastityQueen for your 15% off discount. So until then, bye for now.